gang. I almost didn't see you there.
Oh. Well, welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. That's the place. That's the place where you go for, I'm going there right now, for news and information, republicbroadcasting.org. What do they have up there? They've got headlines. They've got archives. You can go back. You can hear John Statmiller's show. You can hear What Really Happened. You can go to the weekend and listen to Farron's show. I'd like to listen to Farron's show. So you can do that. You've got Oregon man fined $500 for criticizing red something or other. Red light cameras. Okay, that's what it is. All sorts of stuff there. And you know, right at the top, they got this red bar, how to listen, archive, show schedule, all that important stuff. Right below that, on the left-hand side, donate. There's a donate button, and you can click on that donate button. I recommend that, and you can donate by credit card. Please donate, because you still can, okay? We still have our ability to take your donations, all right? And you never know how long that's going to last, so it's important to support us while we're still around. My own website, I had my donate button terminated about a year and a half ago, so you can't do that anymore. But I still have CoCertified up there, CoCertified. You can download the CoCertified app, and you can start leading a non-kosher certified lifestyle. NKC. Let's go NKC, non-kosher certified. Let's also go Mossad free, because this is the only app that will absolutely 100% guarantee that they are not a Mossad front. And that's important. Okay. What else? So I got done with the shilling for RBN and for, and it's not shilling, because I really mean it. And for co-certified, and I really mean that too. I'm live. I am live here. Got Mr. T at the. He's answering the phones and all that stuff, and at the control board, you can call in. So right underneath the donate button. Oh well, that's donate by phone call. Well, you can do that too. You scroll down a little bit. Ways to listen live. Oh, here it is. To comment on air, you can call up. Here is the number, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. So call up, and we'll talk about dogs, and we'll talk about daughters. You know, no big whoop. Okay, so just before the show, I was warming up by listening to some stuff. I listened to some Frank Sinatra. Only the lonely know. A couple songs from that album. Listened to actually a live show that Cream did about 50 years ago in Detroit with Eric Clapton on guitar and Ginger Baker on drums and Jack Bruce on the bass. That was pretty interesting. So I was listening to that, and then I listened to some Gene Shepherd. I don't know if you know Gene Shepherd. I stole his theme song, and so that theme song, which is the Frau Bonn March or polka. I guess it's a Frau Freibon polka, something like that. It's by not Richard Strauss, not Johann Strauss. It's by one of the Strausses. I don't know, one of the Strausses. I should know these things. I listened a bit of his show on the Jersey Devil. So there was a legend of a mysterious devil in the Jersey Pineys, in the Piney Lands, in the swamps. The swamps and the Pineys aren't the same thing, but I guess the Jersey Devil got around. And this was a legend that he really pushed in the 60s and 70s. And wouldn't you know it, when New Jersey got a NHL franchise, what did they name it? The Jersey Devils. Where did that come from? Gene Shepherd, big cultural icon. So I was listening to some of that. I'd like to be fun like him. He was a humorist, and he was the best humorist of the time, but he would have done a lot better in the age of the internet and the age of the podcast. He was a radio guy. He did radio. He did some TV, and he also did the a movie. He had a small cameo role in it, but he wrote the movie, or the movie was based on one of his books, and I guess he did the screenplay for it. A Christmas Story. You probably have seen it before. It's a cult classic. It came out about, I think, 1981, and about a little kid who wants a BB gun. And, of course, that's about his childhood growing up. He was born 21, 22, something like that, 1921 or 22. Wound up being, he was a minor league baseball player, and then, of course, got drafted into the Army for World War II and all of that. He was that generation. So it's about him wanting a BB gun that was advertised on the radio. It's probably about 1931 or something when the movie takes place. But you look at it, and I do recommend that movie for two reasons. One is because it's Gene Shepard, and I think Gene Shepard, he was a big hero of mine growing up. Now, I have a friend who did radio in the 70s, 80s, 90s, somewhat younger than Gene Shepard, and he interviewed Gene Shepard, because anybody who's a radio guy from that era knows Gene Shepard and you know, wants to emulate him. But he interviewed Gene Shepard, and you know what he said? Gene Shepard's kind of a jerk. It's like, well, he's my childhood hero. I don't want to hear that. But whatever. Whether or not he was a jerk doesn't matter. He did good work. And, you know, I listened to Frank Sinatra, and I know Frank Sinatra was probably a lot more than a jerk. But, you know, Frank Sinatra had some good songs. He was a good crooner. He was absolutely a good crooner. So watch A Christmas Story. You don't have to watch it right away. You can wait till Christmas, but watch it. Number one is Gene Shepard. But number two, it was, okay, so the movie, like I say, I think it was released about 1981 or something. Could have been 83, or maybe it was 83. It was in the early 80s. And Gene Shepard must have had a lot of artistic control over it. And it was, you know, it's based on his stories of his childhood. And so they depicted his childhood. And it was at a time when they could depict America as being a white country. I don't know. There might have been, I think, in the classroom scene, because he grew up in Indiana, South Bend or somewhere, and there were probably some black kids in the class, which is probably how it was. I mean, my dad grew up not far from there, and he had I know he had black kids on his track team. He was born about the same year. You know, aside from maybe a couple black kids in the classroom, they just showed it wasn't full of cultural pause and all of that stuff. It was, it just kind of shows an America, not an America we can ever go back to, because it was, you know, it was pre-internet and all that, but it's interesting. So go see that. Now, what else was I doing? Well, right in the last show that Dr. Duke did a couple hours ago with Andy Hitchcock, he mentioned this article from, a couple days ago. This is by John Gage. I'm not quite sure who John Gage is, but I think I've heard the name. Joy Bear asks Tulsi Gabbard why David Duke likes her. So I guess Tulsi Gabbard was back on The View. The View, which is a show on a TV network, one of those networks. I think it's a morning show, or maybe it's a midday show, and they've got like four or five ladies, and they talk about stuff. And I think John McCain's daughter is on it, and Joy Bear, who is Italian, but she's married to a Jew, she's on there, and some other people. And they do lady talk. So they had Tulsi Gabbard on, and so she asked, why does he like you? And I'll just read to you a bit from this article, because I think it's interesting, and it says something about her. It's interesting, this is Joy Bear talking, it's interesting because Some prominent figures on the right, the extreme right, are praising you. They like you, David Duke, the Klan guy. He likes you, Bear said. Hold on just 1 second. I am getting a notice. Well, anyway, I'm going to finish this, and then I'm going to go to a caller if I have one. David Duke, he likes you, Bear said to Gabbard during a Monday interview on the program. He also likes Ilhan Omar, the Hawaii Democrat responded. Does he? Bear said. Why does he like you? Okay, so this is so stupid. Okay, the thing is, why does he like her? He likes her because she, actually, it says down this, I'm going to scroll down a bit. Quote, a quote from David Duke, Tulsi Gabbard is currently the only presidential candidate who doesn't want to send white children off to die for Israel. Well, she doesn't want to send any children off to die for Israel, as a matter of fact, just to all honesty. So I think it's kind of interesting. I know talking to Richard Spencer that, well, he said positive things about her in the past, and I said, well, I said, are you going to endorse her, or have you endorsed her? He said something like, well, Tulsi Gabbard, she can be in my ethno state. I think she's a little bit younger than him, but not too young for him. Eric Stryker has said a lot of favorable things. I don't know. I might be the only person who's officially endorsed her on the lunatic far right. But whatever that means. Okay, let's see. Do I have a caller? Because weird things. I'm not getting my messages. Okay. Oh, wow. I've got George from Greece. Well, that's special. George, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dr. Slattery. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, and I don't know what prompted your call. I'll let you ask what you want, but I'm also interested in the Greek elections that weren't too long ago.
Yeah. Well, actually, I called to talk about Turkey and the situation in the Eastern Mediterranean as an example of what's happening globally. But I would gladly talk about the Greek elections, too. So, what do you want? Would you like to know?
Okay, so I understand that there had, what was it? Before the elections, there was this, a socialist party. What was it called? What's it called?
Syriza.
And they called snap elections for some reason. Was there some scandal or something? And wound up losing them to
happened, they lost huge in the European Parliament elections by a margin of 12%. And they had to go to a national vote. So instead of going to a national vote in September this year, they decided to do it in July, and they lost big time. But the thing is that liberal center-right government that followed Syriza, the leftists, is one of the same. Nothing's going to change, actually. One of the ministers of this center-right government is a Rothschild employee here in Greece, a big-time employee. So I don't think anything is going to change. The big news is that Golden Dawn lost. They're not in the parliament anymore, and they're pretty much on their path to dissolving their party there. And it's a good thing for Greek nationalism.
They just barely missed the threshold. There's a 3% threshold to get into parliament, and they...
Right, exactly.
And had, lost some votes to a newer pseudo far-right party. They had some votes turned away by a party that's not going to go as hardcore.
So there's this guy that sells books and medicine, natural medicine on television, on private channels, and he poses as a Russophile, and he talks geopolitics and politics and conservatism. So he entered the parliament while Golden Dawn lost big time, and they're out of the parliament. And in my opinion, that's a good thing, because Golden Dawn has lost its momentum a long, long time ago. They have disavowed National Socialism. They had started calling everybody a fascist. What kind of an appropriation is that? They have hired non-Greeks to become parliamentaries, and Muslims, and all kinds of weirdos were appearing on their on the list that on the list of their candidates for the election, and people were pretty much disenchanted with Golden Dawn. I mean, people in 2013 voted for a fascist party, a National Socialist Party that would was very active on the streets, was causing all kinds of havoc among the Greek public opinion, and people liked that. For the first time, they were raising their heads, and they were voting for a truly revolutionary party. And once they got into parliament, Golden Dawn, they lost all that kind of momentum, and they just became true parliamentarists, earning huge amounts of money and just sitting around doing nothing. So they lost now. It's a good thing for Greek National Socialism.
Huh.
Something else is coming up. No question about it. Something else will come up maybe next year. No question about that. But I actually called to talk about Turkey and what's happening there.
Let's hear it.
Maybe your listeners are familiar with the situation in the Eastern Mediterranean. Turkey has recently bought a bunch of S-400 anti-aircraft missile systems from Russia, and the United States is ready to... the United States has kicked them out of the F-35 program. They have denied Turkey any discussion of them buying the F-35s, and there's serious talk among think tanks and the White House staff about kicking Turkey out of NATO also.
Mm-hmm.
Because Erdogan is following a Russophile adventure, and they think that Turkey is no longer an ally of the United States. Also, Erdogan has been very, very critical of Israel and in the region. And
we're about to come up on the break, but this is all very interesting and important stuff. So, will you be able to hold on till the other side of the break?
Sure, of course.
Okay, great. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hi, this is Matt Ray for MySleepAllNight.com, and most of us don't even realize that almost all of the healing, learning, and rejuvenating that happens in our body happens only when we are deeply asleep. Now, if you have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep, it's likely you never consistently achieve that crucial level of deep sleep. Deep restorative sleep is the key to health, mood, productivity, longevity, memory, you name it. So many health benefits. To experience what deep sleep feels like, try the new dietary supplement Sleep All Night, formulated by scientist Kurt Hendricks. And sleep like your life depends on it, because let's be honest, it does. Head on over to MySleepAllNight.com. That's MySleepAllNight.com. Enter the promo code radio for 20% off your purchase. Again, head on over to MySleepAllNight.com. Enter the promo code radio. That's MySleepAllNight.com.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. Okay, George, so Erdogan, I mean, I'm sure you know, I know you know a lot more about him and a lot more about Turkey than I do. My impression of Erdogan is, and I don't even know how you say his name, but Erdogan, I think that's how we say it in America, that he does what's good for Erdogan, first and foremost, and then maybe what he thinks is good for Turkey, and he changes his opinions from time to time, and he was a big supporter of ISIS for a while. Then he kind of switched sides, I guess. Maybe was it because he thought the U.S. tried to overthrow him, and then he switched sides and got on Team Civilization with Vladimir Putin. And you know, I don't think he's a trustworthy person, but if he's going to cause a rift with NATO and wind up getting kicked out of NATO, I think that's great, because that would be bad for NATO. We'll see. But tell me, what's going on? You know, what's going on immediately, and what are your impressions of Erdogan?
Okay, now, Greece has been enemies with the Turks since the 9th century A.D. Okay, can you fathom that? Okay, so yep. I'm a Greek, but I will speak in favor of Turkey now, okay? Turkey is a revisionist power. They try to unhinge themselves from degrading Western culture, and they're trying to have gain some sort of independence for their country. Now, Turkey, okay, maybe Britain and France are nuclear powers, but Turkey, believe it or not, is the second largest NATO power, okay, after the United States. It's a huge country, and it's a huge military. Now, Erdogan has been very critical of Israel, and he understands what's happening with the Jews.
He has been for, like, the past few years, right? But, I mean, wasn't Turkey hosting or allowing Israel to use its airspace and even its air bases?
Yeah, like, that was before Erdogan came to power.
Was that before he became to power? Didn't that continue for several years after he came to power? Because he was prime minister for a long time, changed the constitution, now he's president. How long has he been in power?
Well, he's been in power since 2002, I guess. Before that, he was the mayor and a very successful one of Constantinople, or Istanbul. Mm-hmm. Depends on how you view history, okay?
Right.
So, after he came to power, the Jews continued for some time to have some sort of military relationship with regard to exercises, especially Air Force exercises within Turkey's airspace. But that pretty much ended like 7 or 8 years ago. Okay. So now he's been very critical of Israel, and I think he understands what's happening with the Jews in general.
And Jake, for 1 second, I just want to confirm something. At the very beginning of the so-called Syrian civil war, which would be, 2011, I guess, didn't Turkey allow Israel use of its airspace in order to strike at the alleged nuclear facility or chemical weapons facility in northern Syria?
I guess so. I guess it did.
Yeah, but that would be 8 years ago, so...
But what's happening? Listen to me. Here's what's happening. It became apparent to the Turkish government, and specifically Erdogan, that the Syrian war was fought with a specific target, and that target was the creation of the Kurdish state. And 30% of Turkey, demographically and geographically, is occupied by by Kurdish nationals, okay? Kurdish speakers and Kurdish nationals. And this is very, very dangerous for Turkey. If a free Kurdistan emerges at the border of Turkey within Syria, it would be very safe to assume that would spread within Turkey in a matter of years. That would mean the dissolution of the Turkish state, okay?
Right.
And Erdogan, of course, understands that this Kurdish state is being created in the favor of Israel, okay? He understands that, and he's trying to act accordingly. But here's some words, very very few words. I would like to quote from a top retired general, Turkish general, who appeared on a panel in Washington D.C. Okay, are you ready to listen to that?
I am, but we only have about a minute or so before the next break. But
a minute.
Please start.
Okay.
Well, maybe you don't want to start until after the break. You can hang on till after the break.
Sure, I can.
Yeah. A quick question. There are all these Kurds in Turkey, and too many to genocide. And he doesn't want them to be independent. Does he want them to assimilate into Turkish culture and speak the Turkish language?
Well, I hear the music.
Okay, we'll talk about that after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
We are back. So we're talking about Erdogan, we're talking about Kurds. I got more questions, but I want you to continue with your thoughts. You were going to read something, I guess was it a statement from a Turkish general?
Yes, and this is a retired top general of the Turkish army. His name is Ergin Saygun. He appeared on a panel in Washington, a panel organized by a think tank of some sort, and he had some very interesting things to say. So I'm trying to translate from Greek into English, right? Okay?
Okay.
Well, if we think that...
Simultaneous translation is difficult, I know, but we're patient.
Okay.
Take your time.
Here's his quotes. If we accept to finish the problem of the S-400 missiles, then I'm sure that there will be more requirements from the United States. They will tell us. Don't make any agreements with Iran. If we here say yes to, then they will say, okay, now you have to accept the Kurdish state that we're forming in northern Syria. If we say no to this, then they will tell us, you don't have the right to search for... natural gas in the Eastern Mediterranean. For this reason, I'm saying that for me, the problem is not the S-400 missiles or the F-35 aircraft. The United States will not accept any sort of Turkish independent international politics. And they will not accept Turkey becoming a peripheral power. Was that understandable? Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you get the gist of it? Here's some more.
Okay.
Israel is will lose. Israel will lose its air superiority in the Eastern Mediterranean that now enjoys. For the United States and the West, in the Middle East, there are two very serious issues. One of them is Israel. The other one is energy resources. In the Middle East, there is no state that's friendly towards Israel. But they can create one. An independent Kurdish state. Is this enough? No. Is this enough for them? No. They have to destroy Israel's enemies.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, Turkey's turn will come.
Mm-hmm.
I'm deeply saddened in my heart. I'm very sorry about that. But this is the truth. If the United States sees us as enemies, me as a military man, as the army in general, I have to defend myself. But don't expect me to defend Turkey against the United States with using American weapons. If you take some sort of weapon from the United States, they will not give you the operating codes. The United States holds them in, keeps them in secret. That means that they anytime can cancel these weapons. I mean, he's trying to say that the United States selling weapons to any country, they actually control the actual operation of the weapons.
They keep
too.
a back door so that the weapons can't be used against the United States. I guess that's what he's implying. All right, so let's first of all, the Kurds, there must be at least 50 million Kurds, which is a huge number, 50 million Kurds scattered through, I guess Turkey would have the biggest share of them, but Iraq, Iran, Syria, and maybe Azerbaijan.
Yes, exactly.
Split between all these countries, but Turkey would have the biggest share of them. 28 million, yeah. Okay, that's about what I thought. And there is a de facto independent Kurdish state in northern Iraq already, right?
Right.
That has a great deal of Israeli penetration into it.
Of course.
And so...
Yeah.
So the idea of... It's not officially recognized by anybody, but it just operates, I guess, pretty independently from Baghdad. And then, of course, the United States had been working very closely with Kurds in Syria. That was the whole thing, the Kurds.
Yes.
And that, I guess Syria has a longer border with Turkey than Iraq does. So there...
That's also true.
The idea of especially, you know, if you had the Syrian Kurds hooking up with the Iraqi Kurds, you know, you'd have some sort of international pan-Kurdish movement. That would be very much an existential threat for Turkey, as you were referring to earlier.
Exactly right.
Existential.
That's the main reason Erdogan turned to Russia, because he understood that the United States' end game was the formation of the Kurdish state, and that Kurdish state was for the benefit of Israel. They would like to give Israel strategic geographic depth that it lacks right now, being surrounded by Arab states. And the Kurdish state would be the only friendly state towards Israel. And this is exactly what's happening. That's why Erdogan turned to Russia. But it remains to be seen if Erdogan will endure till the end, because right now, during the July election in Constantinople or Istanbul, there was the opposition that captured the mayor's office there. And the opposition is pretty much aligned with the Jews and the United States. So I would guess that the United States only a reason of being, the raison d'être of the United States is to act as the military for the Jews. I mean, Israeli or diaspora Jews. I mean, how else can we describe the current situation? Everything is being done for the Jews. I don't understand.
No, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Pretty much anything, you know, even if you look far afield from the Middle East, Venezuela, is there a Jewish angle there? There probably is. The last opposition candidate was a Jew. In North Korea, is there a Jewish angle there? I think there is a few. It might not be primarily Jewish, but there are Jewish angles there. North Korea has military trading relations with Iran and Syria. And I think that at least plays a part in the American hostility to North Korea. I think it's more complicated than that, but there's at least a part there. But certainly when it comes to the Middle East, everything, and not just the Middle East, but also Russia. The hostility towards Russia is a Jewish hostility. I mentioned Tulsi Gabbard at the beginning of the show, and, you know, she's a Democrat, and she's got, she goes along with a lot of the Democratic agenda, at least like as a formality, but her whole campaign is about regime change, stopping regime change wars and ending the new Cold War. And she uses these terms, regime change war. Yeah, I mean, regime change, this was the whole comes right out of the neocon playbook. And then the new Cold War, it's a very interesting term to use, because the only person who uses that is Professor Stephen F. Cohen, who I talk about a lot on this show. And it shows that she's listening to him. She may well be talking to him. I know that he donated money to her because that was written about in Vanity Fair or something. And not that it would be very much money, but so that's all very interesting.
Well, we have candidate Trump wording here. I mean, I don't see anything different. I mean, they talk different when they are candidates. And when they come to power, it's more of the same, you know. They cannot actually do anything.
She's such a long shot, but I think there's a lot of value in having somebody, even somebody who has no chance of winning, to have somebody who is basically a one-issue candidate. That's all she is. She's a one-issue candidate, but she's pretty daggone good on that issue. And so right now in 2019, it's a matter of promoting that voice, having that voice in the Democratic debates and getting on TV.
That's one. Yes, she's against the Israel part of the Jewish agenda. What about the diaspora part of the Jewish agenda? She's all for them. She's all for immigration and all.
When she says she wants to end the new Cold War, the new Cold War is that is the agenda of the diaspora Jews who are very anti-Putin. And so I mean, she is coming under a lot of fire from the Jewish media.
So. Well, let's hope for the best for Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know what's going to happen, but America has entirely turned into the long arm of the military department of the Jews in general. Anyway, there's a long tradition going back 200 years of Turkey being a part of the general Eurasianist project. They had deep ties with Japanese Pan-Asianism and Indian Pan-Asianism, and there's a long tradition going back 200 years with Turkey wanting to the then Ottoman Empire wanting to gravitate into a more Asian centric paradigm of international politics, and it's Erdogan is just the expression of those kinds of memories. I'm studying now anti-Westernism in Asia, going back around 150 years, and it's very, 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 very interesting because the Ottoman Empire was very much on page with all of these movements, going all the way to Japan. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah,
and of course, Russia was in the middle of it.
Turkish and Japanese, you wouldn't think it, but they actually seem to have some sort of distant relationship, the way their verbs conjugate.
I'll tell you one thing. Many people think that the Japanese language belongs to the Altaic group of languages, to which the Turkish language belongs. Okay.
Yeah. That
and
is,
phenotypically,
up, that
they have phenotypically they're very distantly, but surely related.
Yeah. I mean that's my understanding. So are Turkey and Iran, are they having some sort of rapprochement where relations between those two improving?
Well, they have a common enemy right now. It's the United States and Zionist occupied governments of the world, and they also have a Kurdish problem. The Iranians have a Kurdish problem in their northwestern territories, and they're both facing very, very unfair sanctions, economic sanctions from the West. I mean, Turkey is under tremendous pressure. There's successive devaluations of the Turkish lira. They're suffering there. Well, they will not quit. I don't know. Maybe they have the backing of China and Putin. But up until now, they will not quit. And I'm all for that. I'm a traditional enemy of these people. We suffered heavily under their occupation. But I'm all for them right now. I don't like the regime in Greece. I don't like the being occupied by the Jews.
Yeah,
I want someone to stand up for human decency.
Here's a Greek who I know you're not saying make Greece Turkey again, but still, it's like I sometimes say make America China again, just because I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews. At least we'd know who's ruling us.
exactly.
Here's the more serious question. Iran's biggest ethnic minority are the Azerbaijanis, right? That makes up maybe 25% of the population.
Now, probably, yes.
Are the Azerbaijanis are pretty close to Turks, right? I mean,
of course. They speak almost the same language. Mm-hmm. And they're a little bit more Turkish in terms of DNA than the successors of the Ottoman Empire, who are very, very, who are heavily mixed with indigenous Greek populations of the Eastern Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So very, very closely related to Azerbaijanis. They almost speak the same language.
Is there any feeling in Iran that the Azerbaijanis, because I know for a while, like 50, 60, maybe 70 years ago, there were some designs by the Soviet Union to try to chop off Azerbaijan from Iran, the Azerbaijani territories from Iran, and I guess link it up with the Azerbaijani territories that were already in the Soviet Union. Is there any distrust there? Is there any feelings about, territorial issues, boundary redrawings? Is that an issue between Turkey and Iran?
If there was one, it surely has been silenced But whatever turmoil might arise there would be in the result of the West instigating on that direction, in that direction.
I mean,
Azerbaijan is there. The Azerbaijanis in Iran, Iran are a minority, and minorities are always vulnerable to Jewish-inspired rhetoric, you know, instigated by the United States regime.
All right. Well, we are going to the break. If you want to hang on for the last segment, please do, because I have more questions if you want.
Well, it depends. Do you feel like, you know...
I
talking
have more
about
questions.
It, or maybe there are some other callers.
There aren't. It's you and me.
There aren't.
Okay, we'll be back.
You may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgment, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Okay, we are back. We are back. And George, I do have another question for you, but right after I said that I have no more callers, I had a caller. So I guess we'll bring him on, because I think he wanted to say something relevant to this conversation. So so you stay on. And Jim from New York, did you want to...
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I think came in the last couple of minutes. You're speaking to someone who's from Azerbaijan or who knows about it?
No, we're speaking to George from Greece.
From Greece. Oh, but regard to Azerbaijan, it turns out that they have a very warm mutual relationship with Israel. Were you aware of that?
Now, are you talking about the Republic of Azerbaijan, the former Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan?
Yes, I am. They have meetings. Israeli officials have been over there, and they've gone back and forth. It's a very warm relationship.
Were you aware of that, George?
Yes, Azerbaijan is an independent state that is totally It's a different story than Turkey. The Azeris and the Turkish people are very closely related genetically and linguistically and culturally. But Azerbaijan is a different state than Turkey. Turkey right now has Erdogan as its leader, and he's based in Ankara and Istanbul. Azerbaijan is completely unrelated to Turkish politics, but they're very closely related as cultures, as peoples.
And the question I had was the Azeris, I guess you would call them, in Iran. As I recall, when they had that that fake election, you know, fake election hoax about 12 years, or well, I guess it was when Ahmadinejad had his second term when he got reelected, but there was supposedly some sort of green or color revolution in Iran. That the opposing candidate that the Soros-sponsored color revolution was supporting was, I believe, an ethnic Azeri. Are they very integrated and assimilated into Iran, or are they very separate? Do you know?
You know, as I said, minorities are all very, very vulnerable towards Jewish rhetoric of human rights, and the United States is always very, willing to impose in actual terms, in actual politics, this kind of rhetoric. So I will not be surprised if Azeris in Iran will come up with some sort of independence claim. But you know, in Iran there are also Turkmens who are direct ancestors and relatives of the Ottomans and the Turkish, the Seljuk horse riders that invaded Asia Minor back in the 11th century. So there are actual Turkish remnants in the form of the Turkmen tribe residing in Iran right now, apart from the Azeris.
Jim, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Hello, yes. Jim?
Hello. Yeah, go right ahead.
I wanted to ask George if he was aware of the Uyghurs who are also Turkish and China who are being put in these like concentration camps.
Uyghurs are a completely different story. They are a mixture of the original Turks living around the Altaic region of Western Mongolia and Chinese people. So they are. They are there to exert pressure on China. And a few years ago, Turkey was pushing.
We're running out of time. I wish we had more time for this because this is fun. But please call back, both of you. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
Independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.